you people. This is Starship Brokan Show with Anna DeBlancis for another day of broadcasting Solen. All right, now we have many things that we would like to share with you this afternoon on the program. This is just a star-studded lineup. Adam Kinzinger, he's a congressman. He's got thoughts.
Free the bird.
Tom Skilling, he's a weatherman. He has thoughts.
We'd like to hear his thoughts. I'll be listening.
Lester Holt, he's an anchor man. He has thoughts.
Love Lester, too.
Ricky Lake, she was a talk show host.
Oh, yeah.
A celebrity. Remember,
Ricky
an actress?
Lake?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Ricky Lake's going to be here in studio with us. But now she's a pot advocate.
For medicinal purposes?
I don't think so.
Is she going to bring some?
She is the executive producer of Weed the People.
Judy's going to be waiting.
Now that is clever.
She's going to be waiting by the studio.
She's bringing brownies.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Brownies. So yesterday.
So she's going to be in studio with us too.
Try to behave, you guys. Okay, when she's here.
She's amazing, by the way. Have you ever interviewed Ricky Lake?
Never interviewed her before. It's a total fan of her show.
She is one of the you're going to love her.
Yeah,
the people that are going to be here at 4:40. She is amazing. No matter how you ever thought about, she was a daytime TV host and all that. She is so smart. She is so funny on the air. She is great. And it looks like she's stoned. So this is all going to be good.
Should we bring some Doritos into
Let's order some Zaz
right
now. I
actually have Doritos.
Oh, you do? Good. Bring those over.
The cheesy ones, though.
Even better. That kind of get gunky.
Kind of like Cool Ranch, man.
Okay. So that's coming up. That's just before 5 o'clock. And then after 5 o'clock, then, all hell breaks loose. Plus, Adam Hoge will be here in the 6 o'clock hour with the latest news on Mitch Trubisky from Hallis Hall.
Chase Daniel is trending on Twitter currently.
Oh, no.
What should we draw from
what
that?
What does that mean? Do we have something? Do you have something, Kev?
I don't have anything official yet.
You're supposed to run it into the studio, as soon as
we
you get it.
We haven't got an official. I mean, look, the chances of him practicing were slim to none today. But we're just want to wait for the official Bears injury report.
So is he going to play on Sunday?
That's the whole point. That's what we're asking.
Well, but even if he's on the injury report now, is there a potential he can play on Sunday?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't really know until... Because they call him questionable.
Well, the very last injury report he gives is a couple hours before kickoff on Sunday.
Right.
Or whenever you're kicking off.
Right. Because Nick...
Nick exactly,
has to know about it.
That's exactly why.
Because by 10 o'clock in the morning, we got to know who's playing who's not.
And you got a couple hours to work with.
Right, exactly.
Take your lineup.
You got to go back. You got to go back true and take a look at what you got.
Yeah, but you can't take back from Vic once you've placed that bet.
That's true. That's why
Nick.
Nick.
It's hard to understand the way he talks.
Once you place a bet, but you don't place the bet until 11:55. Nobody places the bet until the last minute.
I already placed one.
Yeah, well, that's so many
You're
things.
You're not listening to Vic.
Yeah. Nick.
Nick.
Now, don't you do it, too. I need at least one person on this show paying attention, and I rely on it to be you.
But the way you say it, you can't.
Nick.
My skin crawls.
All right.
Ugh.
All right, there you go. All right, so, point is, we're sitting here on pins and needles about Mitch Trubisky. Because I got to tell you, I got a feeling about the Giants. I thought they were going to get past Detroit, even with Chase Daniel. But the Giants they're no longer playing for relevancy. I think they're kind of out.
Right.
But I did notice, I watched them on Sunday, and they actually have some pop. It worries me a little.
But if Trubisky's just sort of so-so or maybe not quite, do you play him against the Giants, or do you let him rest for some of these real serious games?
Because the LA Rams are the next stop here in Chicago. And that's the one. That's what, if the Bears beat the LA Rams, they will be, just imagine this. I can't believe I'm saying this.
They'll be so huge.
They will be considered the best team in the NFL.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right?
You got to go there. Yeah.
I mean, that's absolutely the case because that will make them 10-3 if they beat the Rams. And in the number one position in the NFC.
Right. Well, they wouldn't be number one in the NFC.
Well, because the Rams would be 11-2,
depending on what they do this week.
Yeah.
Right. and depending what the Saints do.
But they would be, and also that
they would have a shot to earn that second seed, which is huge because then you get a bye.
Right.
You don't have to play in the wild card.
Exactly right. And that's a big deal. And I can't believe I'm saying these words.
I know.
We have had conversations like this late in the season, basically, and I guess sort of in 2012.
Weren't they 3-8 last year at this time?
I'll double check, yes, but they've, yes.
Sounds
they've
about right.
Yeah. Well surpassed their win totals over the past three
Remember
days.
That song that we played, Oh Lord, Don't Let Him Go 0-4?
Oh, that's right.
Remember that?
Oh, gosh.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Can you play that? Can you find that?
That was such a good, it was therapeutic on a Monday morning to play that, just to sort of think, oh, to say our Bears prayer.
Well, because they couldn't win.
Right. And this because remember they were 0-3 to start the season, and then we did this.
Mm-hmm. We couldn't get to them, Dan. We couldn't do anything. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. You'd love to say something nice. I mean, for me personally, I was born and raised in this area. I went to high school, to college, everything here. And my God, we're getting beat at home. We're getting beat away by teams that should not be beating us.
Lord, don't let them go 0-4.
Right? Remember this?
I totally.
Remember this?
Oh, I remember it.
I just like can't it take it if they're 0-4. Please don't let them go 0-4.
Yeah.
Lord, don't let them go 0-4.
Not talking about that anymore, are
no,
we?
No, and after we played that, you really did think they were going to go 0-4.
I think we made that after like week one, because they won week three, that miracle game against the Steelers?
Yeah. Uh-oh.
So they were starting to think it's season 1-5. But yes, you were correct about the 3-8 total for all this deep into the season.
Yes.
God, what a turnaround it's been.
Well, so that's why we got to really support them now instead of talking.
We are. Positivity.
We're not talking smack. We're talking fear here. All right, let's take a quick time out. Find out from Judy what's going on in the newsroom.
More than 600 allegations of CPS student-on-student sexual abuse. Watch Micah and Joe, Micah Mater, and Joe Donlin weeknights on WGN-TV News at 9 o'clock.
Congressman Adam Kinzinger of the Roe and Anna District of Illinois.
That's right.
Joining us right now.
That music only means one thing.
Yeah, that's right. It means that
never played on the program.
It means that there's a shirtless congressman on the other end of the. I was out with some people last night,
uh-oh,
Congressman. And some people that you and I know mutually.
Uh-oh.
And one of them, you were at an event, an outdoors event, where it was, and one of the guys was showing a picture of the congressman shirtless at this outdoor event. It was not inappropriate for him to be shirtless.
Why would he show a picture?
I don't know. I don't know. But it was odd. It was weird. It was.
We were around airplanes and shooting guns. It's, you know.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. You're always going to be shirtless in that situation.
Right. Yeah. Sure.
Exactly. I'm not going to be shirtless in that situation. I can tell you that. All right. Let's talk.
I'm glad we have mutual friends. That's helpful. That's awesome.
It could be dangerous, too. There could be a lot of dirt being dished in both directions.
Yeah, especially that one. All right. Let's talk about, in all seriousness, a pretty compelling afternoon or morning into the afternoon in Washington, D.C. today, as you had the Senate an open hearing about what happened in Saudi Arabia. Now, I know that's not your house, right? You're in the House of Representatives. But what are your thoughts, and how should the U.S. government be looking at this? Because you had both Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State, and the Defense Secretary up on Capitol Hill today saying, well, there really is no smoking gun that ties the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia to this murder.
Yeah, so there never will be, short of like a confession from the Crown Prince, which we'll never have. And, you know, intelligence works based on best estimates and, you know, whatever information they have. And the fact that, you know, in Saudi Arabia, if there's a state thing operation, you know, 99 times out of 100, it's ordered by the Crown Prince. I think it's, you know, I trust the intelligence assessment that he did order it. And, you know, I'll start out with where I was critical of the president and then where I think he got it right. Where I was critical is his 2-page statement. I think a page and a half of that should have been you know, this is abhorrent. We don't stand for this. This is awful. You know, we should we believe in free press around the globe, even if it's somebody we disagree with. Secondarily, then, I think his decision was correct. Now, here's what's interesting. If you look at the people that are pushing this, you know, let's cut off all aid to Saudi Arabia kind of narrative, many of the political leaders have been saying this from the very beginning. Take Rand Paul, for instance. He's been, from the very beginning, wanting to basically disassociate with Saudi Arabia. And you take some on the left that are doing the same, and they're using this as a moment to try to drive a wedge. The reality is, in the Middle East, as we know, it's kind of two powers. It's Saudi Arabia or Iran. And if you're turning your back on Saudi Arabia, by definition, you're pivoting towards Iran. And I can point to many, many actions that Iran has done that's way worse, including the 50,000 dead children in Syria as a result of the Iranian regime and the Russians backing Bashar al-Assad. So, you know, there's no sin. There's no sinless, basically, actor in the Middle East.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to pick, you know, your worst friends.
That's kind of what Pompeo said in his Wall Street Journal op-ed today. He's like, let's be careful treading here, because abandoning Yemen or the Saudi-led coalition there would do nothing other than lead to a stronger Iran. So let's consider the consequences.
Yeah, and I want to add something to that, too, because Yemen, obviously, the way that war is being carried out is absolutely, utterly tragic. But on the one hand, people say America needs to do less and let people in the area do more. But this is what happens when there's a nation that does not believe in the Western values that we do engage in war. They destroy everything. Look in Syria. Look in Yemen. And so we have to understand that if we say, let the Saudis handle their own issues, or let, you know, nations in the area handle their own issues, they don't fight war and have the humanity that we have. They don't go to war college to learn about proportionality and, right, you know, legitimate targets. That's kind of, unfortunately, what you get.
The news reports are saying, though, the closed-door classified briefing with Pompeo and Mattis today, that they were warning Congress to not take any action against Saudi if they're not satisfied with the Trump administration falling short of expectations of some sort of decisive action against the Saudis. Do you think that Congress should act if they don't feel as if Trump's doing the right thing here?
No, well, I mean, Congress always can. I believe in the role of Congress, but I also believe in a very strong foreign policy role for a president. And truthfully, I defended President Obama in a lot of areas. Even when I disagreed, I defended his kind of ability to have that power, because you can't have 500 commanders in chief.
Right. Yeah, he's the commander in chief, right.
And unfortunately, a lot of people think they have the best ideas.
Would you like to see this White House be a little bit more condemning of Russia, given their military actions against Ukraine?
Yeah, 1,000%. And it's an interesting dichotomy for me, because, you know, we don't say anything bad about the Russians, but our actions have been pretty hawkish against the Russians, actually, amazingly. I wish we would be very vocal about this. I think, you know, this is Vladimir Putin distracting from his terrible economy, and the fact that, you know, he got his own radar jet shot down by his allies in Syria, terrible military, 200, you know, mercenaries killed by the United States, and he's trying to distract and I think start another issue with Ukraine. The president's done a lot in terms of finally sending lethal aid to Ukraine. I wish he'd be more vocal about this, for sure.
Very good. Thank you very much, Congressman. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Congressman.
Hey, easy. Thanks, guys.
All right. Bye.
Appreciate it.
Put your shirt back on. All right. we got the hang up. Yeah!
I like
the hang up. All right. Judy Pilak, standing by. She's got to be genius.
Hey.
It's a Rokan show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Okay, now, many things that need to be discussed.
Yes. Are we in trouble? Are we going to talk to Tom Skilling?
Yes.
And discuss them with him?
Yes, we are going to discuss them with him.
Yeah, that frightens me when you say it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Me too.
As well it should.
I feel like I'm being, was it David Stockman who said he felt he was being taken out to the woodshed during the Reagan administration? I feel like I've got a trip out to the woodshed right. Coming every time you say that.
We have a few things to talk about.
Right, I'm taking
a couple of things.
I'm taking my belt off right now.
Yeah.
Doing that thing. Don't make me take this belt off.
It's all right. You got to run faster than I do, you know, to get me.
Yeah, right. That's true. Although between the two of us, it's a slow motion move.
No.
Hey, I did hear in your forecast.
Uh-huh.
I know we were supposed to talk to you about the weather every day, and we talked to you about the weather 10% of the time.
Sure.
But I will say that this is a pretty jarring early.
It is
very, you know, these are January temperatures.
Yeah, 10th coldest November of 148. Ooh. I mean, that puts you top tier, and the snow is amazing. You know, Bill Snyder came up with a stat which I thought was really interesting. We've had 12 inches of snow for the month at O'Hare so far. That's more snow than has fallen, just to show you how strangely the snow's been distributed around the Midwest this year. That's more snow in Chicago, the 12 inches, than in International Falls, Minneapolis, Madison, Wisconsin, and Green Bay combined.
Wow.
I've gotten some people to write on Facebook and say, hey, how come you guys are getting the snow and it's not us? You know, so it's very strange.
Maybe I'm wrong about this, but mm-hmm. I've noticed over the years that there are like belts. It like almost becomes like a conveyor belt that comes through with the weather, the way it patterns. Something up north changes the mm-hmm. jet stream,
yeah.
this stream, the polar stream, whatever it is.
Well, you know,
are we in bad shape for that, do you think, for snow for this year?
You know what? I'll tell you. We did some statistics. One of my other colleagues here looked at what kind of winters we had after we had a snowy November, and 8 of 10 winters that he looked at showed more snow than average. But before you get too worried about that, mm-hmm. by the same token, arguing against that is the fact we've got an El Nino that tends not to produce as much snow as usual. Two, warm winters, warm summers are followed 60% of the time by a milder than average winter, and we're still... eight models are run by the Weather Service and averaged as one form of guidance for what kind of winter may be coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Six of the eight have above normal temperatures, and that's been a pretty consistent forecast. So, and we're seeing in the next two or three weeks, the European Center runs this experimental model out to 45 days, and they've got a milder weather pattern settling in as we get into over North America, a good part of North America, except way up north, as we get into the mid part of December. So we've got some cold weather ahead the next few weeks, and the weekend will warm up. We might get some melting with heavy rain Saturday, and that worries me with regard to possible flooding, because we've got a lot of water tied up in this snow, particularly in the northern suburbs, and mm-hmm. you put down an inch and a half of rain, which may very well Friday night and Saturday. That could be a real mess. But and it looks cold next week. But you know what?
When does it warm? Any signs of that?
I don't
like
see
50?
warm. No, don't see anything like that right now. And the time frame we're looking at, we've had a couple of indications we get up to 50. We never made it. Those projections just haven't worked out. But there does seem to be a more westerly jet stream setting up in a couple of weeks. Now we'll see if that works out. But if it does, that's very much what you expect to see in an El Nino, and it would be consistent with that, and so there's some reason to have some hope on that.
There's hope, bro. Did you hear that?
I know.
He said hope. He's you know how I feel about hope. Hope.
It's a home in it's a town in Arkansas.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
It's not a strategy.
Yeah. Hope. Right. Hope is not a strategy, and hope is also the cruelest of emotions.
I know.
You know, because it's.
But on the other hand, Ro, when you've got nothing else to cling to, why not?
I think I learned this from Shawshank Redemption, how dangerous hope is.
Right.
You know. So
yeah.
I.
But they wound up on a nice beach in Mexico.
That's
so,
true. Not okay for them.
That's true.
Spoiler alert.
Some of the kids haven't seen it.
This is where Violetta goes, I didn't see that movie. I don't know.
I've seen that so many times. It's so sad.
I have too.
Oh, my gosh.
Every time. Again, Shawshank. If it's on TV, you got to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's true. It just, once it starts.
I know.
It's in that great pantheon of great movies. Do you know what movie I've started doing that with, which is really.
What's that?
Talk about. And then I watch it late at night and then I can't sleep.
Right.
It's kind of a wacky movie to think about here, but it's Thin Red Line.
Yeah.
Terrence Malick film about the Guadalcanal.
Yeah.
It is so beautiful and dark all at the same time because the photography in it is, if you just turn off the sound and you try to avoid the bloodshed in the battle scenes, the nature scenes are unbelievable. And it's like...
Well, the cinematography.
Yes. It's one of the most beautiful visual poems ever.
Yeah.
And a sad, happy movie is Love Actually.
This is a little different. This is a little different, Love Actually, than Thin Red Line. It's a little different, but I got to tell you, that is one that, you know how movies like stick with you.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, that one does.
I watched it a couple nights ago, and I'm like, oh my God, it'll take me a month to get over it.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I was young, before the advent of videotape and all the rest at home, VCRs, I used to think, how can you watch a movie, you know, multiple times? And Boy, have I changed my mind on that. It is amazing to look at these well-done films. And you see something new. Every time you look at it. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
We watched Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer last night.
Oh,
another one you have to watch every year.
Right, now, did you see that became a tempest in a teapot on Twitter?
Why?
No.
Last night? Yeah.
Well, no, I did not. I was not on the Twitter while I was watching.
This is Twitter is just nothing but a troll farm.
Yeah.
That is a gigantic troll farm.
How do you get mad at Rudolph the Red-Nosed
Because
Reindeer?
It was encouraging bullying.
Oh, no.
I'm like, I had a blue veiner today on Wendy Say Live about this. Because I'm like, oh, when are we going to grow up here, people?
I know. You know, come on.
It's
a statement
bullying.
Against bullying, quite honestly. Well, they wouldn't let Rudolph play the reindeer games, and there was a guy with
and
a whip.
They made fun of him.
Remember, like, Santa's got a whip when he's trying to get the reindeer to, you know, go faster and everything. And look at Santa. You know, he's representing the white male oppressor. You know, it's like, shut the blank up, would you? It's weird because Claymation, I'm not a gigantic fan of Claymation, but in that one I am.
I love those.
Right?
Those holiday favorites in the Claymation.
Wants to be a dentist. I don't know. Are you opposed to clean teeth? I don't know. All I know is it's a beautiful little story.
It isn't ultimately the ones who are ostracized become the heroes.
Right.
So,
you know, in
up.
This world, with all the stuff that we digest in the course of multiple news cycles, how could you pick that out to complain about? You know,
that's right. I'm looking at the social media feed. People are blowing up about it. Oh my gosh, people.
I know.
Get over yourselves. You know, it used to be that people who would write crank letters to, whether it's politicians or media personalities or movie stars or whatever it is, you know, nobody got to see that in public. It was just those who were receiving the letters would see it, and you'd
That's
see
right.
the massive amount of hatred and wackiness that actually exists. I used to say that if you want to find out about humanity, become a phone screener at a talk radio station for 1 hour.
Yeah.
For 1 hour. And you find out how absolutely cruel people can be.
I know.
And now
with social media,
we've made
there
it. Now everybody gets to see what radio producers have known for generations.
I know. It's very true. It's one of the downsides of social media, and I think it's part of the reason the discourse in this country has gone so downhill. You know, people say things, you know, in the impersonal social media environment, you wouldn't dare say face-to-face to somebody else, and now you have started hearing it face-to-face, you know?
Yeah,
it seems
right.
like we've trained ourselves.
But they're still hiding, though. All those
I know.
Jagweeds and and holes of hay.
I know.
They still hide behind the veil of social media.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, these are people who would never say that.
Yeah.
You know, in real life. And then every once in a while, when they do say it in real life, now there's a camera out. I mean, like that this crazy woman and where was it? Carolina, North Carolina, I guess it was, that lost her job because she was, you know, telling the black ladies that they couldn't stand, you know, in front of their building.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, I mean, so you get things like that, and that's always been there, but now it's just on full display, and we're engaging it like it's real. It's still a very small population of people doing
exactly. That's the thing. I've often said on social media, you know, when you get into the climate subject, you start getting some of this feedback. You don't know who these people are. Are these bots? Are they, and I'm becoming increasingly convinced that a lot of this stuff is organized, you know? I mean, it's just,
on the same message points.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, for sure it's organized. I mean, this has been organized for years. Yeah. The lobbying efforts of whatever the cause is. Sometimes it's cause, sometimes it's company, sometimes it's, you know, corporate yes. organization, whatever it happens to be,
yeah.
an industry. You know, they know how to get out. I'll tell you something. You know, again, everything. Talk radio taught us all of this for the last 50 years.
Yeah.
That if I started talking about any of the hot button topics
sure.
back in the 1990s,
sure.
I would get, or even the late 80s, mm-hmm. you'd get the exact same callers saying the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And no matter whether I did it here or in New York or in Detroit or any of the other places I used to fill in, I'd get the exact same responses from people.
Or no, the same
responses from people quote. Because what they were doing is they were on a fax chain.
Yeah.
Of whether it was gun control or
sure.
you know
abortion or anything or like that.
Any
yeah.
of those things. And they would say the exact same things. And some yeah. of these things were just totally made up.
And you know, the amazing thing about it, Rose, it gives us an inaccurate sense of where the public stands on a lot of these issues. Because these people they make noise far out of proportion with their numbers,
sure.
you know?
Yeah.
It's just, it's really amazing. You know, it's funny. I've gotten to the point that on Facebook, for instance, if you start name-calling on my page or, saying this is a pile of garbage and all the rest, yeah. and you have mm-hmm. I say bye-bye. This is not a democracy. Get out of here.
Good for you.
And I'll tell you, and you know what? You eradicate five or six of those people. It's amazing. The whole environment changes.
Yes,
and you
elevate the whole conversation.
Yeah, and you realize how disproportionate how badly weighted that is by mm-hmm. the.
Isn't it ironic that you're changing the environment when you're talking about climate change?
I
think that's really interesting. Yeah, what you're doing there. But it goes down to, it's just hard to believe that there are so many people, it's very hard to believe that the president, it's not a statement about Donald Trump, it's a statement about the presidency, that the presidential Twitter feed is filled with, that pugilistic, punch your stupid nose down your dumb throat kind of commentary about everything. And you're like, wait, that's the president.
I know.
Right? I mean, it's weird.
A different world.
I know, it is a different world. I know I'm going to wake up at some point and go, wow, I had the craziest dream last
night. I know.
Night. Yeah. Yeah, it's like Bob, last of the Newhart show.
Exactly. Right?
All right, I got to run.
See you guys.
Thank
you.
Hi, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
Great to talk to you guys. Bye-bye.
Judy? Judy?
Yes.
Yes, it's time for you to tell us about the news.
Willie won't deal. Chicago alderman to go on trial.
Oh, it's the holiday season. Oh,
it is.
Oh, my God. I not only stepped on the lyrics, I trampled all over it.
That's unlike you.
Me a diamond ring for Christmas. I feel like I'm in paradise. Otis Redding right there.
Oh, yes.
There you go.
Cheesy radio DJ would not be proud of the way you...
No, would not be.
Stumbled all over the lyrics there.
Just trampled. And don't forget, we are doing our first Roel. They've already started talking about the second Roel.
Oh,
I was
gosh.
In a meeting today where I'm like, we haven't gotten through the first one yet.
You can't get your head around the second one yet.
No.
You just can't. There's just too much work to be done.
Is the second one? Can you give us a heads up, Ro?
I can just tell you where the first one is. The first Roel is presented by New Balance Chicago. It's at Dirty Nelly's in Palatine. It's next Friday. If you want to attend, you got to register at wgnradio.com/events. And we are, it's going to be a very fun room. I could just tell you that right now. Okay. I also, do I have the VIPs today too? Am I giving away? Am I doing VIPs?
I heard the News or Ruse contestants wins VIPs.
Did you hear that?
I did on a promotion on this very radio station.
And that's at 6:40. Yes, that's how I'm doing it. That's correct. I just looked at my own. I should know on the show that has my name on the door that I should know what's going on. And that is happening at 6:40 tonight.
So if you win the VIP and you already have tickets for the regular, do you have to give up the regular seats? You know, if you've already registered.
Yeah, technicalities.
Yes, we'll work on that.
Let's don't go down that road. That's too confusing.
We have to get anyway, you want to be in the VIP section if you can. So that's a cool gift.
Yes.
Cool thing to win.
It is a good thing. It is a good thing. And the Ides of March are going to be there. Carnival Wagon's going to roll. I just locked down what may be the best Carnival Wagon rollout of all times.
Oh, I can't wait. Can you reveal it now?
No.
Okay. Shh. for now.
We're gonna find. When do we get to reveal that one?
That part of things. Okay.
And
Santa's gonna be there.
Right. Santa's gonna be there, and a guy who thinks he's Santa, but we're afraid to tell him he's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That could get ugly. Yeah. The real Santa's not gonna like that.
It's gonna be
having
very
an imposter around. Tom Skilling's going to be there.
Yes, and Tom Skilling will be there. Exactly. And we are asking you to bring a new unwrapped toy or game for kids of all ages. And if you're looking specifically for inspiration, boys 6 to 9 years old is what the Marine Corps is telling us they are looking for this year.
Great.
All presented by New Balance Chicago with locations in Lincoln Park, Oakbrook Terrace, Roland Park, and Schaumburg, and sponsored by Apple Chevrolet. They're doing their own toy drive on the South Side right now. If you go down to Apple Chevy, 8585 West 159th Street, you can get, you can drop off toys to them. If you're not going to make it all the way up north, Palatine next week, you can drop it off there. They're going to deliver them to us. They're all those toys are coming up to us.
How cool.
So they're going, and they're going
in
to
a Silverado.
Marines. Yep. And actually,
they're doing it different this year?
A number of Silverados. There's going to be a fleet of Silverados.
That's
doing
awesome.
This. It's really, really cool. And also Architect of Chicagoland. How about that?
Great.
We love them. I would like them to build a deck for us right there in front of everybody. I don't think they've got time for it.
No.
Hilton's of Chicago, Lou Malnati's, Taste of Chicago, Morcus Chocolate, Never Measure, and Sweet Alley's also giving us promotional consideration there. So
thank you to all of them.
Yes.
Helping make this an awesome holiday party.
It's a great way to kick off the holiday season, too. And you still have 3 weeks, you know, essentially, until just under 3 weeks.
It doesn't really conflict with your regular holiday parties because it's a little earlier. Just kind of gets you in the mood for what's to come.
Speaking of what's to come, the 2018 Holiday Outlook has just been released by PricewaterhouseCoopers, and this is a statistical analysis of what they expect consumers to be, how much money they're going to be spending, on what kinds of things they're going to be spending the money on, and they break it down by demographic and Generation Z.
Mm-hmm.
Generation Z, which is actually, now this is interesting. Generation Z is people under the age of 22.
Right, 17 to 22.
Right.
Is that generation.
In terms of consumers, 17 to 22.
Millennials immediately after that, up to 36.
Right.
So these are younger than millennials, and Generation Z, I can't imagine they've got that much money to spend yet, that early, that young.
I'm not the youngest anymore.
But they're saying
I just knew it. I just knew that what this was going to turn into was I'm going to pull this show over because she's always complaining about getting older.
Well, I just went out and I had like a graduate moment. I hung out with someone who was 21 and I was like, what?
You're
a couple years older than
and
that.
And I just, yeah, I know. But then I was saying some references and he was just looking at me and I'm like, yeah, you probably don't know because I'm on the brink of not knowing what that means. You definitely don't know what that means.
And I like how she's making herself on the brink of not knowing what it means when she brought it up. I shouldn't know what this. I'm too young to know what this is.
Exactly.
What was it, by the way? Was it World War II? Because I don't think anybody knows about that.
No, I don't know. There's a couple different instances, but
that Lincoln was a Republican. People don't know that.
Many people don't know.
Listen, you young whippersnapper. Let me tell you something here. Abe Lincoln was a Republican. Many of you young punks don't know that.
Many people do not know.
Who is Abe Lincoln?
Anyway, stick with me, kid.
All right, so the profile is 17 and 22-year-olds.
Okay.
Only 20% of them are concerned about debt. So that means 80% of them are like, woohoo!
We got nothing to worry about.
This plastic works!
Rack up the spending.
And 3/4 of them were planning to shop on Thanksgiving Day.
On Thanksgiving Day?
Yeah. Or the day,
a lot of stores open.
I'm sorry. Friday.
But as of Thanksgiving Day, 75% of them said they were going to do their own shopping for the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And that in stores, 28% they would do it online and in stores.
17, who has money to go shopping for? What are you buying?
They must not be good presents.
Now, here, what's interesting, but I find this to be really kind of pretty fascinating here. They, in terms of their social media use and how that translates into what they buy, because that's really the thing. social media, we all want to sit around and think that it's for political hatred and for looking at pretty people and then getting envious.
But it's really commerce.
Fear of missing out. It really is about commerce. That's really what it's about. And 66%, two-thirds, follow friends and family, as opposed to, and then like 55% of the general population does. So they're they're like, this is the true, they grew up since they were little kids playing with a phone or had
right,
a computer.
Right, they're natives.
You know, they're natives to
didn't adopt to anything. It's just this has been the only thing they know.
Right, social media has been in their life in one way or another. They're almost their entire life.
Mm-hmm.
56% of them use a buy button when you're on social media,
so
or
do,
you just click on it, right? That's compared in the general population, only 39% of people do that.
On the Instagram.
I would say most people don't even know what that means. It means it's linked up to your credit card and you just can buy it without checking out, right?
Those people don't know that. That's correct.
No, but I mean,
there's two differences because that's an Amazon option, but there's also on Instagram it says buy. You click that, and then it takes you a link to the website to buy the product that you saw.
Yeah. The whole point is that they're clicking through on to buy. They don't stop to think about it. They see it, and then they click on it.
And they're using the advertisement that they see on Instagram that's supposed to be to share pictures with your family to actually shop.
Right, or Amazon. I'm going to get to that in a second. It breaks that down. And this is interesting, 32% pay by their smartphone, and 25% pay using their wearables, like their smartwatch.
I was going to say, I don't even know what that is.
I have to take my clothes off? No, that's not what that means. I think
that's fascinating.
Yeah,
that's a really high number.
Because I think I am such a dinosaur when I pull out cash.
Oh, yeah, that feels weird.
I pull out cash, I feel like I'm either doing something illegal.
Right. Or people are just like, what are you doing, man?
That's because when doing illegal things now, you have to have cash.
Yeah, right.
There's no plastic option here.
Well, the guy with the $100 bills is like, wait a minute.
You quick pay, but
I can Venmo you.
Yeah, I guess that's an option.
And I feel like people don't even want to take the cash.
They don't.
They stand there, and I'm like, hello, here's the 20.
They don't want to do the change either.
Yeah, they don't know how to do the change.
Well, they never had
it's
to
sad.
Do the math.
There are several businesses.
Everyone knows how to use the change. That's probably been a myth for, like, ever. These kids don't know how to do change. Everybody knows how to do change.
I've seen it. No, I've seen it.
Yeah, they don't.
In the West Loop, I'm not kidding you, there are several businesses that say we're cashless.
I've never
witnessed. I didn't even know that was allowed, but that's what they say. They're cashless. You're not allowed to use cash. So discriminatory.
I literally got into a fight with somebody about the amount of money that was owed back.
Because he didn't know how to
show them how to do it.
$3.86. And I gave him a $5.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at me.
What am I going to do with
this
that?
This most confused thing. So he handed me back $2.86. And I'm like, okay, No. It's a dollar.
You were winning in that one, though.
16, I know. But I'm like, that's not right. No, it's $3, so you gave me $5. I owe you $2. And I'm like, no.
See, I don't think that's a generation thing. I think it's just kid's an idiot.
Yeah, well, he was.
That's the difference.
He was.
But doesn't the register tell you how much to give back?
Sometimes, but not always.
But he did not believe it. He did not believe it. He said, no.
Dude, you're full of it, man.
Here's $2.
$2, bro.
You had $3, and you had to be $5. I'm giving you $2. I beg, but there's 86 cents. I'm giving you 86 cents.
Don't worry.
No!
You would think that putting someone on a register, you would give them the just basics, like count up. If it's $1.36, count 37, 38, 38.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's like everyone who works in a cash register in their life knows that, but not anymore.
Judy, I'm giving you $2.
You know what? I'm like you. I would have walked right away. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Exactly.
And good luck in your life.
Why did you fight it?
You should have told him, actually, owe me $5.
Exactly.
Trying to rob me, kid?
Because I cannot.
You can't live with stupid?
I can't live with stupid.
Yeah.
I just can't.
It's hard to do stupid.
Yeah. I got to do something about stupid.
You were making money off stupid. You didn't want to do that?
Yeah,
but
so
you know, sometimes it's more fun to show them how stupid they are than take the money.
I've been making money off stupid my entire life. All right.
You better stop there.
Yeah. I know. I got it. I don't know. All I know is this.
Did you win the argument? Did he eventually say, hey?
No, a manager had to come over.
Oh, boy. You caused a scene over that?
Well, I didn't cause a scene, but the manager was like, hey, whoa, what's going on over here?
Let me speak to the manager, please.
And the manager's like,
he gave me too much money. Yeah. Oh, that's a good one. You sure he wasn't the manager, the guy in the register?
I don't know. He might have been. It was like, the guy looked just like Napoleon Dynamite, too. It was perfect. God. Cindy, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Cindy.
Ro, don't feel bad about causing a ruckus. I was in a restaurant, and I was going to pay my under $10 tab because I just had an appetizer and a glass of water or whatever. And she said, you know, we charge a dollar if it's under $10. I said, oh, well, that's okay. Let me give you the cash. So it was like $7.75, and she came back with $2 bills. And I said, hey, I need a quarter here. She goes, oh, we don't do change. I said, what do you mean you don't do change? She goes, no, we don't do change. And she goes, I said, well, wait, I do.
So does this country. Damn it, I want my quarter.
I did. She goes, I don't have any money. She goes, you're going to have to talk to the manager. I go, okay, that'll work. I go, where is it?
There's always a manager. Get the manager.
I hope you left her change for a tip.
Well, I didn't take it out on her because she just, you know, it's policy. They don't give change, Anna. Get over it, you know. And I said to the manager, I said, wait, what is this? You don't give change? Yeah, well, you know, we just don't have that. And I go, well, you have to have some money in here somewhere. I want a quarter. So she goes, well, we're going to have to go in the back and find some. And yeah, I go, okay, I'll wait.
I'm going to go look at my purse and see if I have them.
I don't care. Scrape the bottom of the purse. Take a collection around the bar. Exactly. It was the principle of the thing. Who does that?
I know.
Right. You're going to pay for something you didn't get? No. A razor
At least you got $2 back. I mean, it could have been worse. You could have gotten $3 back. You would have taken that deal.
And if you have a bill for like $6.99 and you give the clerk a penny, oh, my God, it's trigonometry. They're freaking out. They don't know.
Right.
They don't know what to do with that. That is true.
Like, if you give them to round out to like a solid nickel or something like that,
give
them a penny, and then they're like, no.
I know, they are. It's like Beavis and Butthead in reverse. And they're like, did you know you gave me an extra penny? Yes, I did. Oh.
Figure it out.
Oh, and it's like I was sick that month in math.
Yeah, right. You know? Thank you, Cindy. Appreciate it.
Well, you think that the percentage of cash transactions has gone down so low that people aren't dealing with it anymore.
I'm sorry. Did she start by saying she was charged an extra dollar because she didn't spend $10?
Well, like, you see that a lot. If you don't, like,
for a credit card transaction.
Yeah.
They have a minimum.
But wasn't she doing cash?
No, well, that's why she went to cash.
She changed to cash because of the dollar thing.
Oh, okay.
And then when they ended up with then the cash became a great controversy. Incredible controversy. Okay, here's $6 back. And I didn't know. What is the little one that's kind of like brown colored? What does that one mean?
The kid's still talking about it. Dude, she tried to pay in cash. And I was like, dude, I don't know how the hell to do this.
What's a quarter? I don't know what you're talking about.
What the hell is she talking about?
Venmo.
We don't do change.
People don't know that we don't do that anymore. All right, Judy, can we find out what's happening in the news at the bottom of the hour in about 5 minutes?
Yes, a deadly house fire in Indiana. So far, 4 bodies recovered.
Oh, wow. I'm going to try and do this as a serious interview. We always like to have a lot of fun with the weed on this
show.
That's
true. Whenever it comes up, we tend to get a little bit Ryan Lochte on it.
Yes, we do. But but what we have here is we actually have a serious weed problem on this show right now, and this is what we're trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. Mitch Kahn is with us. He is
no relation of
Grassroots Cannabis. And there's a movie tonight. I want to hip you people, because you have to, when you talk about weed, you got to say things like this.
Sure.
Well, I want to hip you people to the Music Box Theater tonight at 7:00. Ricky Lake, who I absolutely adore,
I do too.
She's one of the best ever. She's going to be with us in just a moment here. Mm-hmm. She produced this documentary called Weed the People. And I got
great
it.
Title.
And it's designed here to tell people about medical cannabis as a human rights issue, as opposed to just a you know, as any kind of an issue. I mean, a lot of people, and it seems to me, Mitch, and you're involved in cannabis production and sales, and what? How many states? Seven states.
We're in seven states, soon to be nine.
Okay, so doing it the way you know, you guys are rolling out. Are you in Colorado?
We are not in Colorado. We're in mostly the Midwest and Eastern states today.
Okay,
mostly.
So you've seen in the states that have gone, and Colorado being sort of the, you know, the patient zero here of, you know, going full recreational. The guys who started in medical, as Illinois has been in medical now for what, like last 3 years?
About 4 years.
4 years. And these were very expensive. The state, the barrier to entry that the state of Illinois put up to make it hard for people to apply for licenses to, and it's to grow, to process, and to dispense, right? Those are the three licenses?
That's correct. And, you know, Illinois has really been, we think in a lot of ways, the model for really putting together a very, very strict regulatory environment in a good way to make sure it's regulated in an appropriate way and businesses are run by the right people and run the right way.
Right. It does seem like that to me. I mean, I've watched them, and Illinois is not known for getting things right all the time, but I think in this particular case, they may have actually done pretty well and in terms of that.
It also seems, correct me if I'm wrong, that there's potential now with the governor being more pro-cannabis than the Governor Rauner and the legislature changing in the way that it has, that there might be new hope for additional bills to pass.
Well, there's no doubt. And first of all, we were really excited last year, or actually this year, excuse me, to have the new opioid bill passed and really increase accessibility to a huge number of additional patients in the state of Illinois. You know, we think that alone is going to double or triple or quadruple the existing access for patients and in large measure, and Ricky will certainly talk about her movie, but it's really about access and accessibility for as many people as we can. Obviously, the new governor-elect made cannabis a huge issue in his campaign, and we believe that there will, without question, be an adult use bill that comes out of the House and the
Senate.
Does
that help you or hurt you? Because the argument, because the conversation has been about medical use, and there's been, and now when it sort of slides just to recreational, does that counter the line of argument you guys have been making, or is it just add to it?
You know, I'm not sure I can speak to whether it's good or bad. I think what it does is it increases accessibility for people.
So everybody's doing it anyway. Not everybody, but a lot of people are doing it anyway.
No doubt about
that. Makes me paranoid. I can't do it. I'd love to, but I can't.
But it increases accessibility in a way, Ro, that I think, you know, if you really go back and understand the history of how this became illegal, it was a purely political act many, many years ago.
Jazz singers, right? They wanted to get like jazz artists. They wanted to keep them from smoking.
Well, that and the folks in the paper business didn't want hemp to destroy their paper businesses. There's a number of different anecdotes that
I never understood why the tobacco industry, especially when tobacco was really starting to go south in the 90s, why they didn't just grab this thing and go, this is our new thing.
They had the lobbyists in place already. Could have just sort of shifted the product, right?
Right. And I mean, seriously, you know, like the paper industry, there was like one company making, you know, like joint paper, and it wasn't particularly good. All right, Ricky Lake is with us, and the movie is called Weed the People, and that's what's going to be playing at the Music Box tonight at 7 o'clock. And Ricky, thank you for being here.
Happy to be here. Just got off the plane with Abby.
Oh, we know you hustled over here to the studio.
We raced to be here, yeah.
Thank you so much for doing that. And all right, so explain Weed the People. Why'd you make it?
You know, I focus more on documentaries these days. I don't act, and I'm not really hosting a show anymore. But I love projects that raise questions that are important to me, and I hope are to others as well. Abby and I made a documentary 10 years ago called The Business of Being Born, and it really did educate people about their options. And this, I mean, this doesn't necessarily seem like it fits in our kind of wheelhouse, but my husband, my now deceased husband, Christian Evans, this was his passion, this was his medicine, and it was through his own curiosity and his own research that we went on this path and made this film 6 years in the making, and the timing could not be better for
it. And you're
it.
Focusing on children here?
Focusing on children with cancer, so pediatric cancer. And that was Abby's decision. I mean, we were focusing initially on a little girl that had a different disease called NF1, but it's treated like it's cancer with chemotherapy. And, Abby can talk more about why, you focused on children.
Well, I think the movie, like Ricky was saying, started with a child. So Ricky and Christian were trying to help this little girl. And literally one day she called me and she's like, Christian's been reading all this stuff about CBD. And we think this might help her tumors. And then like 3 weeks later, she called me and she's like, you're not going to believe this. I've chartered a jet. We are putting this little girl and her mom on a plane. We're going up to Mendocino to see this cannabis doctor. And I was like, this sounds like a movie. I'm coming. I'm bringing cameras. Like, it just felt like the beginning of something. And it ended up to be this amazing journey for the past 6 years. And I think we both have learned so much. I mean, I think we were incredibly cannabis naive, especially like to the medical effects, you know? I mean, I think we had absolutely no idea.
Well, I think that's you know, to the you're articulating much better the point I was trying to make earlier, which is there are two tracks when people think about cannabis, right? There's the recreational track, which, you know, we've all grown up around and know and understand, and then there's the medical part. And I think people, because, you know, I it's the Cheech and Chong effect, really. It's because it's kind of its own joke.
Right.
It's not taken seriously as a
Reefer Madness.
Right, right. Reefer Madness and Cheech and Chong. Yeah. The polar opposites, the North and South Pole of getting high. Yeah. And to me, it's I've watched these guys struggle who are trying to bring this into the mainstream of medicine. Because you're hearing doctors now. I mean, doctors who, you know, wouldn't necessarily 10 years ago be not necessarily prescribing, but, you know, talking to their patients about maybe you do want to try this for pain relief, or, you know, to switch over from opioids to this, or anxiety, right? And not necessarily smoking, but, you know, the oils, as our news person will tell you all the time, gummy bears, very, very popular.
Yeah.
And it's the over 60 crowd, man. I can't believe how many. I mean, I'll go out and I'm trying to not hang out with people over the age of 60 because it makes me feel like I'm way too close now. But it's like, they're like, dude, I just dropped two gummies. And these are guys that are bankers and doctors and lawyers and, you know, and you know, Indian chiefs. It's like, and you're like, well, what are you doing? And it's like, I'm so high. You're like, what are you doing? What's going on?
But then you meet someone who has a medical condition who tells you this is what helps me. And it's the other side of the coin. And with the children, one of the things that's interesting is FDA says you're not allowed to use it anyway if you're under, what, 18?
Well, I think it's different in different states. Yeah, I mean, look, these children are taking so many drugs that have never been tested on children. I mean, you look at any child with epilepsy, with cancer, they've got open prescriptions for OxyContin. They are taking, you know, massive destructive drugs that were never meant for children. So it's, you know, to say at this point, oh, well, this hasn't been tested, or, I mean, this is completely non-toxic. And, you know, I think now what we're going to see, what I hope we're going to see with Canada is, you know, Canada's opening the science floodgates. It's going to be open there to researchers, you know. And I wonder how long are people going to be able to tolerate all the blocks here. Mm-hmm. It's outrageous.
It's a good point, because it is limited in terms of they don't do research to see the benefits to from cannabis.
Very hard.
And there's this connectivity, too, to law enforcement. There's a whole other world here, because law enforcement has been very, very opposed to the expansion of marijuana in the United States. But now you're starting to see that turn, because and what's interesting to me is because some it's like the Jared Kushner effect too. I almost can't believe I'm saying this, but I've just got to say it anyway.
That tie in?
Yeah, it does.
Bring that together.
Because Jared Kushner has been pushing very hard for this this sentencing reform, which really is based on the fact that marijuana is becoming legal in all these states, because there are so many, the vast majority of people that will be affected by his legislation are people who have marijuana offenses. And that's where the whole thing comes back around. And they almost have to do it, because you can't be out selling marijuana legally and then have, you know, a guy who went in when he was 17 years old for selling, you know.
Well, it's racist at its core. I mean, I think there's so much social justice reparations to be done with the cannabis industry, because that's what you see, right?
Well, it'll be interesting to see how they react to it. But law enforcement's turning on this a little bit, because they realize that that you know, they keep fighting the uphill battle, and they keep thinking, well, if we take a pot dealer off the street, then you know that's gonna then we can focus on the heroin dealers and this and that, and I, you know, it's kind of a vicious circle, and it's weird because in this moment of, you know, great wacky political world that we live in, that that pot is the one thing that is getting bipartisan support.
John Boehner's now in the game.
He's on board too. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know what? His doctors are eventually going to tell him that the red wine is very, very bad for him in the long run. And you know, it's coming for all of us. Yeah. And I think that because Boehner's pretty much drunk by 4 o'clock in the afternoon anyway. I'd rather have him, you know, sober. He'd be the first to admit it. All right. And how long did it take you guys to make the movie?
Just 6 years.
Only 6 years.
You know. Yeah, yeah, we started in 2012.
We followed these.
So you followed
kids
this whole
for years,
right?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, one of them is a 9-month-old baby when we start the movie, and then she's like 5 years old at the end of the movie. So, yeah, I mean, with cancer, I think you have to have these long arcing storylines, you know. But but the movie, actually, we had a piece come out in Forbes today talking about all the obstacles to promoting anything around cannabis, you know, and how there's this beauty, like, that was the title of the article in Forbes. It was like, oh, women are trying to elevate, because there's a lot of women in this industry. And it was saying, you know, women are taking these leadership roles in this industry, and people are trying to elevate consciousness around this, but, like, you know, Facebook's blocking us, and, you know, everywhere you turn, you're being blocked when you try to promote
it. Advertising rules, I mean, here, in the advertising business, they're obviously, you've got cannabis, you know, distribution centers, growers, all that. The branding now. You walk in to any of the medical marijuana places here, and it's pretty wacky to walk in, because it's like the product that they're selling is marketed. It's really marketed for a consumer. It doesn't look like a pharmacy. It looks like you know, a head shop. Yeah. And so you're trying to. And again, it's these two lanes that are sort of having trouble merging. And the advertising, what we can do, like, in terms of if somebody wants to buy advertising, it's you can't sell marijuana as a, you could sell beer, right? All day long, dilly dilly, right? I mean, that's what people are doing. But if you try to go sell a marijuana product, it's like a whole other, you know, mess. That will eventually change.
I think it is, too.
For sure.
When President Kushner
oh, God, bite your tongue.
Is elected in 2020, you know.
Wow.
But, I mean, that's. I think
when that happens, we're all going to get really high.
You know, I'm just thinking that Jared and Ivanka I think Jared and Ivanka smoke a lot at night, and that's how they get through the whole thing.
I think they should.
Yeah. I think that's what's going on. All right. Well, okay. So, if people want to go see this, it's Weed the People. What a great title, by
the way. It is.
You like the title. All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
I love the title.
We love it too.
Yeah.
It's screening tonight and screening also tomorrow at 4:30, which tomorrow is not the best time, but hoping people.
Wait, let me
out.
Just get them all right here so that we can get it. It's radio. Okay. We can't put it up on the screen. So it's Music Box Theater. That's tonight at 7 o'clock.
And tomorrow at 4:30.
Tomorrow at 4:30 at the Music Box Theater. That's on Southport, 3733 Southport, just north of Addison.
And we'll be there for both screenings.
Oh, both screenings.
There'll be a Q&A after?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
And Grassroots Cannabis, Mitch Kahn, the CEO of that, he's the one you're the one, like, kind of organizing this whole thing.
They were the sponsor of the showing tonight.
We very much appreciate
premiere.
You guys.
They're the sponsors premiere, of the Chicago
premiere. We love really excited to have Abby and Ricky here and really talk about how we make this more accessible to more people. That's really what the message is about.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids are an unbelievable story. It's hard to watch that movie without it affecting your heartstrings in a major way.
Yeah.
But it's really about accessibility to more and more people. And I would love for you to come visit one of our dispensaries, because they don't look like head shops. They look much more like wellness facilities.
Product, I'm not saying they look like head shops. The products, in the packaging of the products themselves sometimes, you know, can be sort of trippy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, there's crazy requirements state to state on packaging and labeling. Yep. And all of that is done to protect patients and do a lot of things that the programs have to do, but it's evolving in a tremendously different way. You're going to see the packaging, the products look like every CPG product on every shelf in every store that you walk into in the next couple of years.
All right.
The industry's it's going to look like a completely different business in a couple of years.
Yeah, without question. And it's there's a lot of money going into it too.
Well,
there's
it
a lot of smart money going into it.
But things like what Ricky and Abby have done have an enormous impact on people understanding the benefit of this product.
All right.
And it has huge benefit for a lot of people.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for being
Thanks.
Here. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You. So
Always
so
great to see you. Let us now check in with Judy. What's coming up at the top of the hour in the news?
Slowly but surely, Comet's turning on the lights and the heat.
That's a drop. Yeah.
Has Boris RSVP'd for the party yet next Friday?
You never RSVP.
That's not cool.
I mean, you do to this party, but.
Oh, my God. Thanks for the help, Viola.
I mean, Boris doesn't
yes.
get mail.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't put his address out there.
One must sign up for the first Roel, a Toys for Tots event starring the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis mm-hmm. and the Ides of March and special musical guests. And
Santa and Tom
Santa.
Skilling and
yes.
some surprise guests.
But the most important thing is the Toys for Tots fundraiser.
Right. Well, it's the Toys for Tots razor. Toys razor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Isn't that what I said?
No. You said fundraiser. We're not asking for money. Although people do bring money sometimes, and the Marines will take the money. They hand it to the guy with the most amount of stripes on his sleeve.
Boris is in.
I'll take money. I'll hold money for you. Don't worry.
Just confirm.
Just cards, but no cash, because we might not be able to count that. Mm-hmm. Well, there'll be no change.
Go to WGNradio.com/events. That's all I want to say to you people. Here we go.
It's the top five on the Rokon Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at...
Number five.
So the Secretary of State and the Secretary of Defense up on Capitol Hill today.
Yep.
Closed door session with senators explaining what they know about the Saudi Arabia killing of Jamal Khashoggi. Reporters outside asked the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, why it was that the CIA director, Gina Haspel, was not part of the administration did not send her to go up to Capitol Hill and be part of the testimonifications.
I was asked to be here, and here I am.
But senators were very frustrated. Normally, in your past role as CIA director, you would be here briefing these senators on an issue this sensitive. Why isn't the CIA director herself here today?
I was asked to be here, and I'm here.
Sounds like a dodge. So I think everyone wanted her to be there to just confirm that the CIA and the intelligence community does believe that it was ordered by the Crown Prince, the Khashoggi killing,
yes.
which is widely accepted and embraced, but wanted to hear it from her.
Right. And then Pompeo was asked about whether or not the Saudis were behind this.
Do you believe that the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia ordered Jamal Khashoggi's killing?
I do believe. I've read every piece of intelligence, unless it's come in the last few hours. I think I've read it all. There is no direct reporting connecting the Crown Prince to the order to murder Jamal Khashoggi. And that's all I can say.
Defense Secretary James Mattis also defended the White House.
Do you now believe it's a closed issue that he is not involved, and what makes the administration believe that?
I don't think there's any change at all, if I heard your question correctly, Barbara. We have no smoking gun that the Crown Prince was involved, not the intelligence community or anyone else. There is no smoking gun.
Okay. Lindsey Graham demanded a briefing from the CIA before he votes on the spending bill.
Are you talking about the spending bill being what you would...
I'm talking about any key vote. Anything that you need me for to get out of town, I ain't doing it until we hear from the CIA.
Have you made that clear to the president?
I just did.
Lindsey Graham
mm-hmm.
is like such a wild card right now. You just don't know where he's going to go.
You don't.
sometimes he's a huge supporter of the president and sort of on an island on certain issues, and then other times.
I think he's on the gummy bears. I'll be honest with you.
I think that's what's going on.
I don't think he remembers from one minute to the next what's going on. Where am I standing here? All right. But hold on. Dick Durbin. Oh, he's not having any of this.
Nope.
There are many of us who believe that this execution of Khashoggi in Istanbul could never have taken place without the knowledge and direction of the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia. That is a fact which this administration has never been willing to acknowledge. And we are asked to accept at face value that this sort of murder took place without his knowledge. I don't accept it.
Checking in at
number four.
Ivanka Trump sat down with Deborah Roberts at ABC for a wide-ranging interview that covered, first, the use of private email exchanges on government time.
So everything has been preserved. Everything's been archived. There just is no equivalency between the two things.
But people see it as the same.
People who want to see it as the same see it as the same. But the fact is that we all have private emails and personal emails to coordinate with our family. We all receive content to those emails. And there's no prohibition from using private email as long as it's archived and as long as there's nothing in it that's classified.
So the idea of lock her up doesn't apply to you?
No.
Oh, here's what I just learned from that.
What'd you learn?
Is that Ivanka Trump was partying with Violetta last week.
Yeah, she's got the same voice that Violetta showed up at work with.
Mm-hmm. We both were just sick.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Very astute observation.
And what about the Mueller investigation?
How concerned are you about the Mueller investigation?
I'm not.
You're not?
I know the facts as they relate to me and my family. And so I have nothing to be concerned about.
Do you think it should continue?
I think it should reach its conclusion. I think it's been a long time that this has been ongoing, but I want it to be done in a way in which nobody could question that it was hurried or rushed. And I think after this long period of time, we're well beyond that point. So I think it absolutely should reach its conclusion.
Okay.
All right. Seem to be a lot of people in the White House hoping for that.
Well, I think I don't know what they're hoping for. I have a feeling, though, it's coming to an end, too. I mean, that's what everybody's thinking, speculating here.
Yeah.
You don't know until Mueller does.
You just don't.
Until he pulls a Mueller. Well, you just have to see.
It feels like every time we see breaking news, you wonder, is this going to be some sort of Mueller announcement? But nothing big today. Yeah.
Although the president having a big day on the Twitter and then also on calling the New York Post this time. And saying, hey, I'm not taking a Manafort pardon off the table. Why would I take it off the table?
He did not.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. See, that wouldn't end
and
well.
And then Manafort's people were meeting with the White House people.
Didn't he tweet a meme today? I think the president tweeted out a meme.
Which one?
It was like about, I don't know, something.
Well done.
I jumped the gun. I can't remember.
It's Hillary on black people. They all look alike quote. He retweeted somebody else's.
Is it the Mike? He retweeted the fake Mike Pence account accidentally today. Whoops. There's like a fake Mike Pence, and he went with the and he did that.
Was it fake information as well? Probably. Because it's usually a parody account,
right?
It's
a parody account. It says, I'm thankful for every day Hillary Clinton is not president.
Yeah.
That's not from the official vice president account.
Oh, gee. Dope.
Oh, God.
You ever get sucked into, like, the Wikipedia, like, a wormhole, and next thing you know, you've clicked through, like, 700 pages of Wikipedia accounts? It's sort of like Trump with Twitter. I think he just gets sucked into this wormhole and starts retweeting and going crazy and commenting on posts.
Yeah. I get sucked into the WikiLeaks myself. I just go to the WikiLeaks page.
Give me the juicy stuff.
Yeah. I like to read government documents for hours on end.
Thousands of pages of them.
All right, let's check in with Judy. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
More bodies pulled from that house fire in Indiana.
Then there's this. Be sure to check out the CB app or hit up Facebook and tell Chicago's Best TV where you like to eat. Watch Chicago's Best Sundays at 10 p.m. on WGN-TV. Your pick just might be Chicago's Best.
Wait, Kev, come back here.
Kevin just handed you something
Kevin
important?
Just ran in here and handed me a piece of paper.
This is a big deal.
I told him to do this. All right, so this is for the Bears against the Giants on Sunday.
Right?
Yes. Did not practice.
Trubisky?
Limited part. he's not on there. Benny Cunningham, Akeem Hicks, and Sherrick McManus
right.
did not.
Which means Mitch Trubisky was limited, which
limited
is a positive
participation.
Sign.
Mitch oh, Trubisky, right
that's
shoulder.
An
woo-hoo!
Yay!
And Aaron Lynch and Adam Shaheen, both full participation.
That's huge. Oh! All right. So yay! Not official. Thank none you. Of this official, but Mitch Trubisky limited. That's a good sign.
Yeah. That's a good sign.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank
We're
you.
Happy about that.
All right.
Number three.
Jesse Ventura wants to take on Donald Trump.
Son of a bitch is dug in like an Alabama tick.
You're hit. You're bleeding, man.
I ain't got time to bleed.
Great clip. Yeah, why not? Why shouldn't he be president?
It was not talking about the president there. He was just talking about that was from Predator. Anyway, the point is, he was in Minnesota for WrestleMania when he told TMZ he's really thinking about it.
Yeah,
for real. Like
I'm being pressured right now. I'm getting a lot from the Green Party. I'm big into cannabis legalization. I'm also into alternative energy big. We need to get away from fossil fuels. We got to go to the sun. It's time. The Greens have showed some interest. I haven't made a decision yet. If I do it, Trump will not have a chance.
For real?
Because for one, Trump knows wrestling. He participated in two wrestling manias.
Facts.
He knows he can never out-talk a wrestler, and he knows I am the greatest talker wrestling's ever had. So if I go for it, he's history, and he knows it.
Okay.
He is a good smack talker.
Right. Yeah, all right.
I'm not sure that's the best requirement for president.
I would like the clown car to leave Washington
no,
now.
Please,
it's just
please,
pulling
no,
in. It's like
no.
It's like the circus is coming into town. All right, checking in at
number two,
Judge Judy. Just now, has been ranked by was it Forbes, highest paid TV host, and now the 48th richest. Self-made woman in America.
This
just
is my bank statement.
Just hand it to me.
Okay. This is...
Just hand it to me.
This is my bank
Don't
statement.
Speak. Just hand it to me.
Wait. So whose fault is that? Mine? Whose fault is it? Is there something wrong with you? Who is this person here?
That's my mom and my aunt.
You don't want to embarrass yourself any further in front of your mother.
No. Nope.
The insurance company paid for it. They gave her $18,500 and she wasn't hurt.
That
Sit
was...
down.
I don't care what you believe. Maybe your mother cares how you feel. The law doesn't give a rat's ass how you feel.
All right, there we go. And finally,
number one.
You know, the president said that he looked like Elvis when he was younger.
We all heard
right?
that
yeah.
comment, for sure.
Jimmy Fallon took it another step.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Mueller said the Russians fixed my boats. Manafort was caught lying under oath. Rick Gates, Sam Patton, Michael Flynn, and don't forget George Papadopoulos. Let's rock. Everybody, let's rock. Everybody with the White House job was dancing to the John House rock.
Top 5 at 5.
Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Yay, he's limited. Isn't that what we're celebrating?
Yes.
We're all celebrating in the studio when we heard the news.
Yeah. Hold on. You know what? I got to give
something
away
first,
right here.
And then
right now, caller number 19 at 312-981-7200 wins a Chicago Blackhawks Winter Classic jersey. NHL Winter Classic jersey is now available to purchase in both store and over the phone. 312-759-0079. Jersey pays homage to the 1934 black and white felt, heritage felt material. No, I missed a line here.
Paying homage to
wow.
felt.
it's Who knew the Blackhawks needed to pay homage to felt? But they did.
It's a great material.
Yeah, it really is.
It's not used enough.
No. Although you find way too much of it at those, those stores where you buy felt and things like that.
Like a Joanne Fabric.
Yeah, like a Joanne.
Right.
Yeah. Places like that. There's a lot of felt. There's like a whole aisles of felt. But so what they did is apparently they knew that, and that's why they made the jerseys.
Joanne had a sale.
Yes, Joanne had a sale.
A couple went out of business, so yeah,
right.
They must have grabbed them up.
Yeah, and they decided they were going to go.
They look
the
beautiful,
felt.
Though.
Yeah.
Those jerseys are amazing.
Oh, they're super
I totally
cool
want
looking.
One.
They're matte looking because it's felt, which is the finest of fabrics.
It'll keep you warm when you're at the game.
Go to Blackhawks.com, ChicagoBlackhawks.com. They got everything you need, including tickets to the big the winter game, which is
Winter Classic.
Winter Classic.
Play it on felt, actually.
Yeah, right. See, now I'm
wearing your finest felt.
This is what happens when the president or I get off the script. There's nothing but trouble. It's the NHL Winter Classic game is on New Year's Day. It's at Notre Dame Stadium.
Yeah, it's
going to be amazing. And that's what they're going to be wearing. They're going to be wearing the felt jerseys then. And you're going to get one right. They call it number 19. Just ripped us off for one right there.
Because it took you so long to get through that 19 callers had enabled.
I hope you look good in felt. Call it number 19.
Yes. Well, it's what it does. I saw this.
They're soft. It's just a soft feeling.
Felt is a what? Felt feels great, which is why I think they call it felt. I believe that it's felt because people go, oh, this is feel great.
I felt that and it felt great.
Yeah. I took it off and it felt great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not what people say.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway, gorgeous jersey.
Yeah. Congratulations. We got another one to give away next hour as well.
So stay tuned.
Stay tuned to see if I make it through the read then. Actually, next hour is very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Because next hour, we've got not only Adam Hogue going to tell us whether or not Mitch Trubisky, you know, was what he did in practice today, because he was limited in practice, but he was there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a News or Ruse. And this is interesting. For the News or Ruse, we got a guy from Club Lucky. I love that restaurant.
I do, too. It's a staple.
That's a great Chicago area joint. Mm-hmm. They're doing a Prohibition-era whiskey tasting for Chicago Shriners Hospital for Children.
Oh, great.
Which is really nice.
Good for them.
Yeah. So we have to make sure. No, most important thing is we have to taste the whiskey while we play News or Ruse. It's the only game show that you can actually play where actually the drunker you are, the better you're going to play.
It's probably true.
Totally true. All right.
All right, well, that's cool. So we don't talk to Adam Hogue till later. All right, I thought we were going to talk about Mitch here.
No, it's coming up.
Coming up.
That's coming up. Right now, we are going to talk about, I just also need to mention this one more time.
Mm-hmm.
Go to WGNradio.com/events if you would like to join us next Friday for the first Rowell presented by New Balance Chicago. It's at Dirty Nelly's in Palatine. Ides of March are going to be there. Carnival Wagon's going to roll out. We just orchestrated one of the great rollouts in the history of the Carnival Wagon.
Cool.
It's going to be a ton of fun. TV weatherman Tom Skilling is going to be there. I like how they put that.
Yeah, TV weatherman.
TV weatherman.
Now, what does he do again?
Yeah,
Tom Skilling. He personifies.
He's the sports
weather forecaster.
We would like you to bring a new unwrapped toy or game for kids of all ages. But again, if you're looking for suggestions, the Marines are telling us that they really like the idea of boy toys for 6 to 9 year olds.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Plus, we're giving away great stuff, too. Blackhawks painting by Elliot Fromm of Artbeat Live. Also, a gift set from him from the LUVArtShoes.com. That's his deal, too. And a $100 New Balance gift card. We got a pair of tickets to opening night performance of A Bronx Tale, courtesy of Broadway in Chicago. And a lot of really cool stuff. Sweet Alley's going to be there with gluten-free stuff. Morcus Chocolates are going to be there. Never Measure is going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Mentioned them before. We're going to be playing with the Never Measure. And I'm going to be arguing with it about what it says, which I've sometimes done.
It's never wrong.
It was according to me. Oh, where do I start the measurement from?
That's the problem. Yeah. There could be operator error.
Mm-hmm. New Balance Chicago has locations in Lincoln Park, Oakbrook Terrace, Orland Park, and Schaumburg. And we also like to thank our sponsors, Apple Chevrolet, Arkadek, and Chicagoland Hiltons of Chicago. How about that?
Very cool. Next Friday.
A lot of people texting in. On the waiting list, dying to get in.
Oh.
I know.
We can get everybody
in. Huge demand.
Yep. It's, there is a, I think we opened up, because we opened up space. We moved some things around to increase more space there. And I don't know.
What does that mean? We broke down like a few walls?
No, because we had things set up on the main floor there. And we kind of moved them over to, because it was such an immediate amount of demand.
The foam pit was moved and made smaller.
Mm-hmm. The ball pit.
Brought back to.
Yeah. We bring a ball pit just for Sophia Letta, something to play with. And a swing set so that she can play.
Can we get a bounce house in there? That might be good.
That'd be awesome.
No, those get me dizzy.
They get dangerous.
Right. And we also had to downsize Boris's booth from a 12 to a 6.
Oh, he's not going to like that.
Limited.
Yeah.
Damn. Okay, it's him and five girls, then that's it.
Yeah, that's how that's going to go. And the sparklers in the champagne bottle.
Well, each girl gets two each, yeah.
Go ahead, do a sparkling champagne to go have nice.
You use my cigarette to light them. My marble red.
I'm sorry, Mr. Boris, there's no smoking in here. I don't hear you.
I don't hear. Yeah, no English.
No, I don't speak English very well, particularly. So I don't understand this no smoking. It's going to be something.
Yeah, it will.
I mean, I know people are asking if Boris is going to be. I am getting questions about this. Is Boris going to be there? And I'm like, I have no idea if Boris is real.
We have no one's heard
or
of
if
Boris.
He's alive. I mean, yeah. What's going on here?
We have one voicemail of Boris.
Yeah. And it will live on forever.
Yeah. When's the last time you saw Boris?
I saw him a couple weeks ago at a Serbian event. He was fine.
Does he appreciate all the attention he gets on the show?
You know,
he has no idea.
Yeah,
he has no idea. No, he has no idea. He's I don't know. What is it? Do you do?
I've sent him some clips. He's like, "What is that?" I'm like, "That's you."
Oh boy.
He'd be the most popular person at the party, and he just doesn't even know it.
He lives in the shadows, though. That's what
he
I'm
likes
worried
it that
about.
Way. He likes it that way.
And his leatherette car coat sitting there in the.
He's into cars. I saw on Instagram he's building something. He's always posting different parts. I see
he
different.
He keeps finding used parts around the city.
I got the Lamborghini parts. I don't even know.
Talking about no one using cash anymore. Boris uses only cash.
Right.
He's got a lot of cash.
If anybody needs a carburetor from a 2019 Lamborghini.
Actually, Countach, I think he was looking into buying a Yugo recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't, he just because it makes him feel at home? Why would he do that?
Well, they're hard to find. Like, very. Now it's like a, you know, now it's like an antique to have one of those.
Oh, no, it's a total collector's item.
Right.
People don't even, I sound like the president, they don't even know what the Yugo is. The Yugo is my ex-wife. a Yugo was, you know, like these tiny little, it was like the first super stupid little car sold in America, and it was the Yugoslavian government, when there was a Yugoslavian government, was building these things and exporting them throughout the world.
Yeah, when we were like super communist.
Yeah. And it was a super communist looking vehicle, but they sold them here. And what was interesting is that people would literally keep them and make them into like playhouses for their kids and other, because
it was useless.
They went 0 to 60 once, is what they did. That's it. It was like, They broke as soon as you bought them. And there were art installations where people were just, you know, piling them on top of each other. Because they're the size of your wingspan. If you put your arms out right now, if you let them, maybe not so much.
So, but, like the Mini Cooper or the small, those little tiny cars?
Yes.
Do they still make them? They're not making nothing. No. So they're like, how many years ago, if you're buying one? How old is it?
It'd be 30 years, probably.
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
But it had a short lifespan.
Yes.
It wasn't like, you know, it was
disposable.
Right.
Right. It was like a Bic lighter. If a Bic lighter had four wheels and a steering wheel.
But even its popularity was a very short lived.
Yeah, but popularity is really very strong term to use.
A quick history.
Yeah, it was used. I mean, people bought it because it was really cheap transportation.
Yeah, I love these ads. Hugo. $3,900. Everybody needs a Yugo sometime.
Yeah. Exactly. That was the point. And that's how they were, that's how Generalissimo or whatever his name was, that was running the joint at the end there. That's how they were financing.
I think Carla.
And it didn't work out well. It was
his
not.
Cars are hilarious.
My dad had one here, I think.
I don't doubt that.
Yeah, he had a Yugo. I wish he kept it.
Bronco would fit right in one of these bad boys.
Now, how does he get the all-girl band to fit into the trunk of the Yugo so he can get across a border with them?
No, he got a Cadillac for that one.
Yeah. Oh, bigger trunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the Cadillac also lays down the seat.
You just pile them up like a bunch of pancakes. You'll be fine. Everybody share the oxygen.
Don't make noise. We're going through border security check now.
Breathe too much.
Ah, the good old times.
Yes, and Boris is getting hit with canisters of the tear gas light that the border protection uses now. Don't worry, don't take in breath. We're going to get through.
You build up an endurance.
Right, that's right, a tolerance. Actually, both Boris and your dad have a tolerance to tear gas, I'm sure.
Well, Boris, that's why he doesn't mind smoking indoors. You know, it's like...
Yeah.
Doesn't faze him.
Oh my
he prefers that over outside.
Right.
Seems like the wrong smuggling car. Just saying.
The Yugo?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, like no trunk, right?
That's why everybody in Violetta's family is so small.
You have to fit in Yugo in order to come across the border.
Exactly right.
The tallest person's like 5'4".
Right. You get four Padromedics in a Yugo.
Barely.
Yeah. That's how they traveled across the...
I think they were only
floated down the Rio Grande in one of them.
Yeah, a donkey pulling it when it ran out of gas.
I don't think they even have a four-door Yugo. Donkeys. Those are the rich people if you have a donkey.
Right, well, the donkey's good. You want a girl donkey, though, because then you can also get the milk. That was very important.
We had sheep pulling us.
All right.
No sheep or goats allowed at the party.
Yeah.
On Friday.
Oh, that's okay. Going to keep the entire...
Padromedic family.
That means that Bronco can't come now, because who's going to tend his sheep? In the parking lot of Dirty Nelly's? What is he going to do?
You just get a dog walker for your sheep, you know?
I leave sheep out in front of... don't step...
Take it for a spin.
Step around because of the sheep.
Take it for a spin.
A lot of fiber earlier. Okay. All right.
Oh, okay.
All right, well, we really hope. We wish the best.
Yeah,
we
do. We're going to have a good party.
Yeah, that's
no
such a
sheep,
good point.
No sheep, no goats.
Right.
And probably no Boris.
Yeah, let's just say no Boris.
I'm thinking no Boris. Boris doesn't come out in daylight, right?
No, but he might make it to the end. You just got to get out of Dirty Nelly's before he gets there.
I plan to. All right, let's check in with Judy, find out what's coming up in the WGN newsroom.
Well, ComEd's down to 2,000 outages. It's working to get those restored by the night's end.
Christmas Pete is back. Listen to the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow morning at 9:10 for your chance to win a $100 gift card to Tree Time in Lake Barrington.
All right. I'll do that then.
We have some funny texts about the Yugo.
Anybody own one?
815 says, I remember when you used to buy a Yugo for $3,900 and get a free TV.
Right.
What a cool
Porsche. Or doing anything to get rid of those cars.
And they have the nickname for the Yugos, they said, was Yugo Nowhere.
That is really true. The problem with the Yugo is it had a very, very bad service network. None, I think, was the service network. The dealerships did not have service departments. It was sort of like one of those things
Once it's done, it's done.
Yeah, well, you drive it off the lot, and you just go as far as you possibly. It's $3,900. That was their attitude. It's $3,900, and it's a car. What do you want for $3,900?
We gave you a TV.
Yeah.
Whatever you get out of it is a bonus.
Right.
It's like going on cheap on anything.
Yeah. If you get 100 miles out of it, it's good. If you get 200 miles, listen, if you get 1,000 miles out of it, now you're really cooking right there.
That's
Judy's news in 2 minutes. Coming up. News or Ruse, and the winner gets a VIP experience at the First Roel coming your way next Friday.
That's a big deal.
That's a bad and a big deal.
Can't believe it's almost here. It's like the holiday parties are here.
Yes,
including
that's true.
Ours. One week from Friday.
Yes, exactly right. Well, we were already done with Thanksgiving. We got to make the turn.
It's true. It's
Bears are 8-3. This time... Last year, the Bears were 3-8. I want you just to think about that, people.
This feels a lot better.
A beautiful turnaround.
It is.
And they could have easily been 10-1. All they had to do was get one first down in Green Bay and convert a field goal in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And this would have been a totally different circumstance. Not totally different, but an even improved circumstance. And they'd be in the conversation with the other best teams in the NFC. Isn't that right, Bears insider Adam Hoge?
It's totally right. And look, every team always feels like they can win the game. It should have won the games they lost. But in this case, it is 100% accurate to say that if Kyle Fuller catches that ball in week one at Lambeau Field, they're 1-0. And then if Cody Parkey makes a field goal in Miami, they win that game too. So, I mean, it's literally two plays there, and they have two more wins. Can we get to the juicy stuff, Adam? Tell us. What'd you see
what's
Mitch Trubisky do? What did he do on the practice
happening
field
with
today? Yeah, so, okay, for those that don't know how this works, we basically get 10 to 15 minutes right at the start of practice, and most of that is stretching. That's what we get to see. We don't get to see any team drills or anything like that. So they get done with stretching, and they start to go through their individual drills, which means every position group is in a different area of the field, so we're obviously all watching the quarterbacks because Mitch is out there with his helmet on, which seems odd considering that Matt Nagy had just told us about an hour before that he wasn't expecting the quarterback to practice today. So Mitch starts going through the same exact drills that Chase Daniel and Tyler Bray, the other quarterbacks, are going through. However, at the end of their, like, kind of, I don't know what you call it, it's kind of like a shuffling drill, Chase Daniel would throw the ball. Tyler Bray would throw the ball. Mitch Trubisky, not throwing the football.
Now, do we know it was really Mitch Trubisky and not a guy who looks like him in the helmet?
Body double.
Well, this is where I'm like, is Matt Nagy, you know, are we getting our first John Fox moments here? Is he giving us some gamesmanship? What's going on here? So I wasn't surprised that in the end, Trubisky was listed as limited because the NFL takes these injury reports very seriously. So if he's out there really in any capacity or, you know, even went through just the reps where he's handing the football off to Jordan Howard, for example, then he has to be listed as limited. I think what's notable is that he still wasn't throwing the football in the portion that was open to us. And if he wasn't throwing the football in the part of the practice where they're warming up, I doubt he was throwing the ball later when they're, you know, going full speed.
Unless he was, and then it was just followed by, ow!
Right.
And then they didn't want you to see that part.
Yeah. Here's what I will say. What does all that mean? Well, it means that Wednesday, which is still, you know, we're a few days away from game time.
Right.
There's a chance he could still play. Otherwise, I don't think he goes through this exercise today. I think that they're still leaving the door open to him playing on Sunday against the Giants. However, at least on this day, Wednesday, it certainly looked like Chase Daniel's preparing to play on Sunday. We'll see what it looks like tomorrow.
Is it one of those weird situations where he dresses, but you have Daniel start? Anything like that where you kind of inch closer? I mean, is it either he starts or is it a no-go completely?
Well, I think if there's any kind of 50-50 where there's a little bit of vague area, then I would hold him out because this is not something you want to mess with. And as I've been telling you guys, I told you this last week and on Monday, it just makes me nervous that it's his throwing shoulder.
Yeah.
Do we know exactly what the injury is right now?
We don't know exactly what it is.
Because you had a doctor last week to tell you what he thinks it is, right?
And that has not been confirmed. And what he thought it was is something with the labrum or the rotator cuff, which are things I don't like to hear when we're talking about a quarterback throwing the football. Now, he's not pulling back and throwing 100-mile-an-hour fastballs every time. It's a different type of stress on your arm and your shoulder. It's the kind of stress you can probably play through as long as you're not doing more damage.
Right.
I think that's what the Bears are being careful of right now.
Yeah, and what does another shot to the shoulder do, right?
Yeah,
does this go from an iffy shoulder injury where you miss a few weeks to season ending? So
that's why I want to make sure that he's good to go before you start messing around with it too much.
Should we be concerned at all about Akeem Hicks popping up with an Achilles, did not practice today? He's been one of the more dominant defensive linemen in football.
I would have been more worried if he had been listed as limited instead of not practicing altogether.
Maintenance day?
Because if he had been listed as limited, then that would have told me that he suffered an injury in practice today. The fact that he did not practice at all tells me it was probably a rest day. The Achilles is something that he's been on the injury report before. Now, I would have to go back and look at all of them this year to see if it was from this year, but I do specifically remember last year this was an issue with him, where he had this issue with his Achilles. He played through it. He played every single game. He looked fine. But this has been a problem with him before. So right now, today, I'm not concerned. Of course, they practiced after we talked to Matt Nagy, so we'll follow up tomorrow and try to get more details on that. But we talked to Akeem Hicks yesterday, and he was perfectly fine.
I hate this conversation.
I know.
We're putting fear in the row.
Remember,
he doesn't need any more.
Remember, do we have the... Wait, hold on. Brian, can you find the injury report? Was it from last year? John Fox
rides on it.
That's right.
And that was early on, wasn't it?
Took up the first 5 minutes of every show on a Monday.
Right.
It was so
or a
sad.
Wednesday with the injury report.
Yeah. And now, and we would just play it as comedy. Now I'm taking this very seriously.
But this isn't a long
injury. Yeah, but you got good news on Aaron Lynch and Adam Shaheen. Both were full go. Though did not practice as Benny Cunningham, Akeem Hicks, Sherrick McManus. Any of those stand out as too serious to you, Adam?
No, I mean, Sherrick's just resting up for the Big Ten
Right, so for the most part, Mitch is the biggest worry point here for the Big Ten.
Right. Akeem Hicks, I want to follow up tomorrow to make sure it's not. Because Achilles is a word you don't like to see.
No, right.
But the fact that this is something he's dealt with before tells me he's just resting it. Again, we'll find out more tomorrow. With Mitch, I actually think this is a step in the right direction. I mean, if the head coach said that he wasn't going to practice and he's out there limited, then that's at least a small cracking of the door opening to him potentially playing Sunday. But right now, I'm still leaning towards Chase Daniel.
Mm-hmm. Adam, I think you posted something on, it felt like forever since the Bears have had multiple Pro Bowlers, and right now they got a lot of guys in line to head to the Pro Bowl this year. What did you post? Who's in the lead right now in their positions? Give us the list that you posted today.
Well, so this started last week where the league will start to send us weekly emails with the leading vote getters for the Pro Bowl, and they came out and there weren't actually that many Bears players at the top, and it was like, I think it was sort of a reminder to Bears fans that, hey, the Pro Bowl is a thing.
That's a thing. Remember we used to send players there?
Yeah.
It's been a while.
And then this week, all of a sudden, a bunch of guys shot up the Pro Bowl list. And I think it was just a matter of fans needing to be reminded that, hey,
there's a Pro Bowl?
Like, whoa, our guys are worthy of this thing.
When did they bring that back? Right. Although the Pro Bowl is like, now it's like a flag football game, isn't it? Isn't it? It's like ridiculous.
As it should be.
It's ridiculous, and it gets incredible ratings.
It's huge ratings. It'll go toe-to-toe with like a full-blown regular season game in any of the other sports.
Anyway, Khalil Mack, Kyle Fuller, Eddie Jackson, and Tariq Cohen as a return specialist are all the leading Pro Bowl vote-getters at their respective positions. So a bunch
and that's
of guys
not even Tariq Cohen's best thing, right? I mean, Devin Hester, that was his best thing, to be a returner.
Right.
Tariq Cohen, I think, is a better coming-out-of-the-backfield weapon than he is a returner.
Right. Yeah,
that's a crazy thing. Yeah. All right, I just want to take you back. I want to take you back to make... This is the only thing that's going to make me feel better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take you back to a John Fox injury report from, I think it's two seasons ago.
All right, update on the injury report. It's fairly extensive. Jay Cutler, thumb, did not participate. Right thumb, excuse me. Kadeem Carey, hamstring, did not participate. Eddie Goldman, ankle, did not participate. Lamar Houston, knee, did not participate. Danny Trevathan, thumb, did not participate. Adrian Amos, concussion, did not participate. Bryce Callahan, concussion, did not participate. Chris Brzezinski, calf, did not participate. The following guys were all limited. Alshon Jeffrey, knee. Robert Massey, toe. Josh Sitton, shoulder. Kyle Fuller, knee. Sherrick McManus, wrist. Tracy Porter, knee.
Jesus.
15 players.
Think about that.
Doesn't that make
They're
you
like
feel better?
Key players, too.
But isn't it amazing when you hear Kyle Fuller's name now? It sounds very different than it did coming out of John Fox's mouth.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But I mean, that's more than a quarter of the roster that he just named.
Right? Yeah. 15 players. You know, it's almost like he had to take a sip of water or a deep breath in the middle of that there.
Was that not easy? I'll tell you.
It is a reminder of how you know they've been fortunate with injuries. I know we talked about this last week, and again, Mitch Trubisky is on the injury report. But man, what a turnaround it's been in that department.
Yeah,
and in such a short time. That's 2 years ago. Think about it.
Wait, if you think of those guys, because there's a lot of those are guys. He was naming guys who were stars today,
right?
Right.
Yeah, Eddie Goldman, Fuller, Trevathan, Sherrick McMahon is still a special teams stars. So. Those are guys, coaching, right? I mean, I guess it matters all of a sudden.
Right. It matters. And Matt Nagy right now has to be the leading candidate for coach of the year.
Yeah.
Without it. At this point, we'll see how it all plays out.
If Trubisky plays, how are the Giants on defense and getting the quarterback and that kind of stuff that we'd be worried about?
They're
him?
Thin at linebacker.
Yeah, they're not outstanding, but they are in a new system. With a new defensive coordinator this year, and they seem to be getting better as the season goes along, kind of figuring it out as the year is going on. So, look, this game's not going to be easy. I think there's a lot of comparisons you can make to the Dolphins game, which they ended up losing. It's not going to be 95 and sunny, and they're not going to be in the sun the whole time, but just in terms of you're coming off a little bit of a bye, it's a team that you might be overlooking a little bit, and if you don't have your starting quarterback, that's certainly a factor.
Right.
So I don't think this is going to be an easy one on Sunday.
Although, it's funny, Eli Manning finds ways to lose games now. I mean, I was watching that game on Sunday. I'm doing a little scouting for you.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. I got it all worked out.
You can make a sandwich by the time he releases the ball and it gets to his receiver.
Right.
It takes forever to get to him.
And he had a good first half, and he just fell apart in the fourth quarter.
Not the same quarterback.
Yeah. And I mean, against this defense, it's going to be tough. But you got to be careful.
And they've got playmakers sprinkled throughout. I mean, Landon Collins is one of the best safeties in football. Odell Beckham Jr. is a dangerous receiver, and they have one of the best young bright stars in the league in Barkley, the running back out of Penn State.
Saquon Barkley.
He's a monster. So there's some guys sprinkled in here and there, but overall, Bears are a better team.
And the Bears have the great equalizer, which is this outstanding defense.
Yeah.
And so you know the game's going to be at least close for the Bears to be able to pull out in the fourth quarter.
Well, let's just look at it this way. They're either going to be, in the next 2 weeks, they're either going to be 10-3 or 8-5 is the way I look at it. They get past New York. I think they have a real shot at, you know, because they got really nice momentum. And they get L.A. here, and the Rams are... the Rams are so much fun to watch, right? Obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's the greatest, maybe the greatest regular season football game
that
of all times
that
was
insane.
Played last week. But there is, there's something to the Rams coming here. The weather is going to suck. There's just no two ways around it. The weather's already turned here. So you're already in winter-esque conditions. And that's tough. That's tough for teams that don't normally play in that.
Mm-hmm. I like the matchup, too. I know we're getting a little ahead of ourselves here, but I think that the Bears are the more complete team if they have Trubisky back for that game. The Rams probably have the edge on offense, but I think the Bears' defense is a lot better than the Rams' defense. So in a game here on Sunday night, Soldier Field with the weather, I like that matchup in 2 weeks against the Rams.
Yeah, and you definitely need to have Trubisky healthy for that. That's for sure.
Which, as much as Matt Nagy didn't want to admit that today,
that's
he's asked about it a couple times, it has to be on their minds at least a little bit.
All right. You made me feel slightly better, and then playing the John Fox injury report makes me really feel better. So.
Yes. That should make everyone feel better.
Yes, it should. All right. Adam Hogue, Bears Insider. Thank you, sir.
All right. See you guys.
Let's check in with Judy, find out what's going on in the newsroom.
A Chicago police officer who saw the shooting of Laquan McDonald testifies she was called a rat, a snitch, and a traitor.
And now, the Rokon Show presents News or Ruse, a true game of true wit and skill. And now, here's your master of ceremonies, Rokon!
Thank you, Mr. Duffy.
We are very pleased, very proud, as we play News or Ruse.
Very excited about this.
If you'd like to play, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. While we are waiting to get our contestants on the line, Tom Kleiner, who's our celebrity today, and he really is one, he's general manager of Club Lucky, one of the great restaurants in North America, because this is an old school, original, from in the neighborhood.
Totally in the neighborhood. Just right smack dab in the middle of Bucktown Wicker Park right there.
Right. It's the definition of Bucktown. I know Judy grew up in Bucktown. She was probably going to Club Lucky.
Bet I was.
Yeah, and she was sneaking in at times just to pop her head over the window to see all the people lined up there. It's like one of those places that it you walk in and it's 50, 60 years ago, right?
Oh, yeah. The restaurant actually... opened as it is now in its current configuration as an Italian restaurant in 1990. Jim Higgins bought the space and opened it up and still owns it today. But prior to that, it was a tavern since 1937.
Right.
So it's been around
The bar feels like that, 1937
tavern. It's the original bar in there.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, so when you go in there, you'll see the old bullet holes. Old, I want to
make
sure. None of that happens today.
Nothing recent, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, it's got that era, that feel. It's great.
Yeah, I've sat in some of the booths in there in that bar.
Me too.
And a lot of life events have happened, and you can feel it. You know, it's also a place. And Sunday dinner at Club Lucky is like nothing you're gonna find. It's like going to your grandmother's house.
It is. It's exactly that. It's our grandmother's and mother's recipes, all from Sicily and other parts of Italy. And so we're very excited about that. It's 100% scratch kitchen. So we're always glad about bringing great food, good-sized plates, comfort food, in a casual atmosphere.
One of those places is always packed, and everyone who goes there loves it, but I bet you have a ton of regulars, because you go back a lot.
Yes, we do go back a lot. We are tucked into the neighborhood a little bit, a block off of North Avenue, so we do have quite a bit of...
Yeah, you got to kind of know where to find it. And that's why I don't want to tell nobody where it is, because I don't want anybody else
going. Keep the address yourself, okay?
But you're doing something on December 5th at Club Lucky... You're celebrating the repeal of prohibition, and you're doing a fundraiser for Shriners Hospitals.
We are, yeah.
You're a Shriner.
I am a Shriner, and it is our charity of choice and has been for a very long time. And one of our other members, Adahan Bozdag, was gracious enough to donate one of two 105-year-old bottles of Frankfurt Distillery antique whiskey, which I brought in for you guys to take a look at here. And so this is an original government issued medicinal bottle of whiskey.
Still for medicinal purposes.
That's right. Yeah. And so we will be auctioning for donations of $50 per half ounce. We will be offering this for tasters to try.
Those it's 105 are, years old.
It's 105 years old. Yeah. It was actually distilled in 1913, aged for 14 years in wood, and then bottled in 1927, right there, mid-prohibition.
And you showed us the prescription for it. People just go to the pharmacist, and they get the little the prescription for the whiskey.
That's right. We brought in a prescription as well, which is actually dated December 2nd, 1928. So we'll be coming up on 90 years from now.
100 years from now on this very radio station, there will be a guy bringing in a joint from 2018 and going, this is what we have, and we're going to smoke
medicinal
this
then
on the Carnarvon porch or whatever it's going to be called at that point.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for being here, Tom.
Thank you.
And and thanks for all you're doing for Shriners. An amazing organization. Really? And the hospitals are
they do great work.
We've got one of 22 here right in Chicago, which is really, really awesome.
It's great.
Thank you.
Absolutely great. All right. And that is, and you just go to the Club Lucky website, probably. They've got the details on that, right?
Yeah, or give us a call at 773-227-2300. Ask for Tom, and I'll give you all the details and get you a reservation.
All right, Tom Klein. Cool. All right, Tom's going to play News or Ruse, and let's see who we're playing with. We got Jim playing with Judy. Let's see here.
Hi, Jim.
Jim, you there?
Hi, Judy. How are you?
All right.
Peachy.
We got Patrick.
Uh-oh, she's in a bad mood.
Patricia.
That's a terrible start.
I'm in a winning mood.
Patricia playing with Violetta.
Hell yeah, you better be.
I think that's Patrick. Wait.
Patricia.
Oh, hey,
yeah.
Patricia.
Yeah.
Hello, Violetta.
And Jerry playing with Tom.
Hey, Tom.
That's a girl, Jerry.
Hey, Jerry.
All right.
Yep.
All right.
Thank you, Ro.
You're welcome. All right, here's Jim and Jim and Judy. I love their hat dogs. Jim and Judy, here is your first. Oh, listen, I got to tell you what you're playing
no catch
for.
Up.
A pair of VIP tickets, the first Rowell, presented by New Balance Chicago. Thanks to Hiltons of Chicago. Call dibs at one of these three participating Hiltons, the Drake, the Hilton Hotel, or the Hilton Chicago and Palmer House. A Hilton Hotel.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm having trouble reading today. Your VIP tickets include preferential seats and appetizers. First Rowell is Friday, December 7th at Dirty Nelly's in Palatine, and it benefits Toys for Tots. And then everybody gets a desktop pre-lit sports-themed artificial tree from Tree Time Creations on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington, featuring their ginormous selection of artificial Christmas trees and unique decorations. All right. Here we go. Here is your headline, Jim and Judy. Police apology over man's genitalia description in appeal. I don't have all day.
Well, you know, they said it was
That's
too small,
rude.
So...
That's rude.
It is rude.
What are you... Rude.
Yeah, I feel like it's...
What do you think?
News...
Yeah?
I think Judy's been drinking. Now she's worrying me.
Is that whiskey, that 100-year-old bottle of whiskey?
Did you take it back to her?
Less already.
Yeah.
What do you think, Jim? Quick, because Ro is going to rush
us.
News? All right, news.
She saved you.
Yay!
That's what I do. That's what I do best.
Patricia and Violetta.
Patricia Violetta. Alligators force Houston police to stop chasing carjacking suspects at Buffalo Bayou.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yes, we're going news.
All right.
Yay.
Jerry and Tom, here you go. Or Tom and Jerry. Miami sheriff worries criminals are wishing. Nope, sorry. Miami sheriff worries criminals are wising up after free boat initiative only nets 5 arrests.
Ooh.
Could you repeat that, please?
I don't think so.
I'm sure he can.
Miami sheriff worries criminals are wising up after free boat initiative only nets 5 arrests.
What do you think, Jerry?
I think it's a ruse.
All right, I'm going with you.
Wow.
3 for 3 right there.
Hey.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, the writing. Yeah. All right, here we go. Jim and Judy, back
Jim
to you.
Jim and Judy, FEC declares Kid Rock couldn't have run for Senate as Kid Rock, thus clearing him of federal complaints.
That is news, for sure.
Yes, it is. You guys saw that one. Right. Wow.
Okay, way Patricia and Violetta. Turkeys, okay. Turkey's Erdogan targets inflation by hunting stockpiled onions.
Turkey's Erdogan?
Mm-hmm.
I thought you might know what that is.
I don't know.
Do you listen to their show?
He's the president.
Are you on the show? No, you don't hear
he's
it?
He's the president of Turkey.
Yeah, the president of Turkey.
Thanksgiving just happened.
Oh, okay.
Not about Thanksgiving.
Woo. Yeah, not you, Patricia. Violetta. She's here 4 freaking hours every day listening to this. Right, go ahead. Is that a news or a ruse?
Patricia, you call it out. I'm going to...
What was the turkey supposed to do?
Did you feed everybody this whiskey?
Where is that whiskey?
Patricia, it's half about gone the now. Turkey president.
Right.
President
he's targeting inflation by hunting stockpiled onions. Is that news or ruse?
It's got to be
news.
Me too. News. Okay. Yes. I actually read
a long way to get through there. Jerry and Tom.
Tom and Jerry. Doctors swallow Lego for science.
Oh, Jerry, I heard about this. It took a long time for it to pass, I heard.
Oh, yeah, but it was fun.
So I'm going with news.
I think it's news.
All right, everybody's all tied up.
Has anybody lost one yet?
No, and we're going to, and I got to stop right now. All right, I'm going to have a meeting with all the people.
Yeah. I didn't understand some of the words.
Let's pull it together, people.
Yes, we're going to step aside here. And we are going to pull it together, people. I'm calling a timeout on the field.
I'm throwing a flag.
All right, here we go. Let's check in with Judy. Do you have no idea what's coming up in the news, do you? Because you're not doing the news at the top of the hour.
I do know what's coming up because I've been doing the news, but I don't really know what Andre's going to do. But I'm going to bet that she's going to talk about the number of outages still in the area.
That is correct. Violetta?
Chuck Todd from Meet the Press joins the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow morning at 6:40 with the latest temperature, checking the temperature on the current political climate.
And Andrea is going to have the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. And Tom Kleiner is here from Club Lucky. He is our celebrity in News or Ruse. And he brought in this Prohibition-era whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
And they did actually make Prohibition-era whiskey for medicinal purposes. And they've got an event coming up on the 5th of December, right at Club Lucky, where for a $50 donation, you get to drink. They're going to open these things for the first time in 100 years.
How cool is that?
Well, like 80 years, I guess, to be more.
Right. The whiskey's 100 years old, but Prohibition's 85 years since repealed.
So this is an amazing opportunity for people, you know, it's a kind of once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Certainly, absolutely. Yeah, and we're going to also have a Al Capone Santa and a couple of fancy elves that might be dressed in an era style. And we're going to have the Bowman.
Violetta. All right.
Yeah, the Bowmanville band that'll be doing some hot club jazz music as well.
A sponsor of Shriners, too, wasn't
he? Yeah, I think he probably was roundabout way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't think the Shriners. I'm not seeing those on those commercials with the kids.
Not anymore.
Uncle Al helped us. Yeah, all right. Now something like that. All right, here we go. Newsroom, we're all tied up. And this is an interesting group of people. I've found one thing to be true. The later we play News or Ruse in the day, the wilder the audience actually is.
They're getting anything right. Yeah. So,
if you drink, you are better at this game.
Uh-huh.
All right, Jim and Judy, here is your headline. Are you ready? This is the Orion Samuelson round. Here we go.
Man lists used girlfriend for sale on eBay. Is shocked when bids reach $119,000.
Jim?
That's got to be a ruse, don't you think?
I don't have a good feeling.
There's a ruse.
Hold on.
No, we don't have to hold on.
Oh, everyone else gets a lot of time.
No, not right now. We're in the lightning round.
Listen, I'm not going to argue with you. I got to argue with my contestant here. Okay, Jim, you go for it because I don't have a good feeling about it. So you think it's a ruse?
I think so.
Okay, ruse.
Damn it.
Forgot. All right, here's your Patricia and Violetta, here's your headline.
Imagine if we played this sober.
Dwarf goats make the party scene in Los Angeles.
It's got to be true.
Is this Violetta?
I don't know what you just said, but yes.
Okay, I think for sure that you know goats, too.
All right. Okay.
Gosh.
Wow. I know. So Jim and Judy, you're out. It was nice knowing you. All right. And here we go. Jerry and Tom, this is to stay alive. Otherwise, Violetta runs away with this.
And Patricia.
Oh, we've got to chase
Russian judge clears cat of responsibility for electric bill debt.
Oh, boy, Jerry. I think our name is a part of this clue, Tom and Jerry. I'm going to go with news.
You know, I was going to say news, too, so it's both our fault.
All right. Okay.
Oh, we're in it.
You're in it. All right, here we go. Lightning round. Patricia and Violetta, here's your headline. Chinatown koi evacuation begins as otter rampage claims 10th fatality.
What? Does it claim infatality?
Yes.
10th fatality.
For the otters, I think.
No, for the koi, but whatever. Chinatown koi evacuation begins as otter rampage claims 10th fatality. News or ruse?
What do you think, Violetta?
I'm going to go with your gut. Call it.
I would say ruse.
Ruse.
Now that happened. Here you go, Tom and Jerry, for the win.
Young Scots say not drinking alcohol holds back their career.
Oh, boy. Come on, Jerry, what do you think? We've been drinking here all night, so let's go.
No, you got the whiskey. It's up to you.
Well, I'm going to say news.
Got it.
There you go.
Jerry, congratulations.
Yeah. You're going, hey, listen to this. Oh, my God, Jerry, you're getting the VIP tickets to the...
Yes, that's what I called in for.
Yeah, there you go. You got the VIP tickets for the first Roel.
I was probably one of your first to sign up on the list, too, so get me off of there and give it to somebody else.
Yes, that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. Thank you very much. All right, hold on one second. We'll get all your information. Probably have it already, but just in case.
We'll see you out there, Jerry.
Yep, there we go.
Next week from Friday.
Yeah. There you go. The first Roel, a Toys for Tots event. And, well, it's really a concert, and it's really a bacchanalia. Mm-hmm. And it's really good. There's something, you know, some law is going to be broken by some member of this staff.
You just know it.
I just know it. Mm-hmm. And when it happens, I will not be responsible.
Oh, I think you are actually responsible.
Yeah.
The first Roel, you're going to walk away from responsibility.
It'll be a news or ruse. Roe walks away from first Roel responsibility. Wasn't my idea. Hey,
I had nothing to do with it.
Yeah. Tom Kleiner, again, we should mention this because this is a great thing you're doing. On December 5th at Club Lucky, that's next Wednesday, from 6 to 8 p.m., you're cracking open a 100-year-old medicinal whiskey taste, $50 a taste, and the money goes to Shriners Hospitals for Children. There's one right here in Chicago.
That's correct.
22 around the country.
22 around the country. Yep. This one here in particular focuses on spinal, pediatric orthopedics, and cleft palate.
And any idea about the whiskey, how it tastes after that long? Are we...
We don't know. Now, I did bring a bottle of Four Roses, which is actually the company that purchased the Frankfurt Distillery in 1922, and then continued the production. So
awesome.
We think that might be how it goes.
All right. Well, we'll find it. We're going to find out here in just about a minute. But while we're off the air, thank you very much.